2005. I thank you for, especially committee members, for being here Friday morning. This will be our last meeting. Committee's closing down. Who knows what might happen, though, but we have no more bills that are coming over from the House at this point in time, so there's really no reason for us to continue to meet. Before we really go into work session, I think we're going to go into work session. I want to thank SEIU, especially Lynn Marie Kreider and Art Tower, because we would not have been addressing cost containment issues at all if they hadn't brought forward legislation that actually started looking at the high cost of health care. The hospitals didn't come forward with anything because they're making money and doing fine. The doctors didn't come forward to try to address cost containment at all because they're doing fine. All of the really, I think, important stakeholders who are involved in the healthcare arena had not brought forth legislation to actually address the high costs of health care. And most of these bills were 500 series were focused on hospitals, and because they are the highest cost driver in the health care system at this point in time. We've been working these bills to try to get consensus so that they could pass. And what we have today are two bills that finally we are able to get, I think, at least enough votes in committee and then enough votes on the floor. So I personally want to thank, and I think the committee should thank, SEIU, Art Tower, and especially Lynn Marie Kreider, who has worked countless hours with us on trying to get a bill that actually works. I do thank the hospitals for being at the table. I particularly want to thank the insurance carriers who have really actually tried to provide amendments that would make bills better. And I want to thank Bruce Goldberg also for his input and especially all of the information that he has been able to provide us that has come from the Oregon Health Policy and Research. Is it commission? Commission. So with that caveat, I would like to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1040, and I would like to have Joe Ario and Bruce Goldberg come up and explain the Dash 1 amendments.
Good morning, Chair Mona Sanderson, members of the committee. For the record, Bruce Goldberg, Administrator for the Office of Oregon Health Policy and Research. What I'd like to do is walk you through very briefly, Joel and I, the Dash 1 amendments to 1040. We have been working with hospitals, insurers, nursing homes, doctors, unions over the last several days to try and put something together that moves the whole issue of transparency around cost forward. And I believe that what we've come up with today will move us as a state forward in the direction of being able to provide important, useful cost information. What Section 1040 does, and let me let Joel sort of take the first piece, and then I'll take the second piece.
Thank you, Bruce. For the record, Joel Ario, Insurance Administrator with the Department of Consumer and Business Services. Madam Chair, what you have in this bill is, I think, after lots of consultation with the various stakeholders, a collaborative effort between the insurance division within DCBS and Bruce Goldberg's office. And the insurer role, and I want to second your thoughts about commending the insurance industry for working hard to find the reasonable ground on some of these issues. We have now a bill, I think, that does accommodate most of the insurance industry's interests here and also their concerns about a bill that would be reasonable and able to be administered. We talked last time about four principles that came out of a discussion we had with with some of the leadership of the health industry, insurance industry here in Oregon, and they basically had four principles that they gave us to work with. The first was that we make some progress on transparency around hospital costs. Secondly, that transparency focus on bill charges or paid claims type of data so that it would complement the good work that the Hospital Association is doing in terms of disclosing now on their website to the public bill charge information. This information on what people actually pay is a second and important complement to that information, and that should be the focus of transparency. Third, and this is frankly the principle that we worked most hard on, was that it needed to be simple as possible to administer. And that's what we've been trying to do here. And then fourth, that there be some element of state action here, because that is necessary probably to deal with a variety of concerns around how this process happens, particularly antitrust concerns, but there would be others as well. So what you have here, I think, is something that gets at allowable charge data and does it in a fairly straightforward and easy way and in a partnership. The role of the insurance division and the insurance industry here would be to provide data. So the bill says in Section 1, it's all in Section 2, Section 2, Sub 1, the first step would be that insurers would report to DCBS payment information, and it wouldn't be just hospital facility charges, but it would be paid data information related to diagnostic-related groups and procedures. That's a lot of gobbledygook, but it essentially means episodes of care. So for the consumer interest in this bill, they might not be interested just in what it costs to, say, have a vaginal delivery at a hospital in terms of facility charges, but also what it might cost for the anesthesiologist and other people who might be billed separately around that same episode of care. Now, there are a lot of details that have to be worked out exactly how that can be obtained from insurers in a way that's easy to get, and so that's why in Section 2, rather than have all of this spelled out in a bill, it puts that duty back over to the Health Insurance Reform Advisory Committee to work out the details of exactly what would be reported.
And who is on the health?
The Health Advisory Insurance Reform Advisory Committee goes back to the early 90s, was created originally to help implement some of the small group reforms, individual market reforms here in Oregon, and it includes both carriers, well represented in the group, a broad swath of the carriers, but also consumer interests, agent interests, and other kinds of folks who hospitals on occasion are very active and would be obviously on this issue. We've just gone through an issue in that committee where the insurers had one position, the hospitals had another, and we said, well, we're not going to work this out until all of the parties come together and work it out. So it's got a history of being a group that brings in all of the affected interests and works things out in a way that tries to meet as many of the issues. The same thing as 501. A lot of the detail of 501 is now going to be worked out through the HIRAC committee in terms of exactly how the reporting would work. So that's what this bill envisions, is set a broad goal of getting information on allowed charges and from facilities and related professional services, and then leave it to the HIRAC committee to work out the details of that reporting arrangement. Once that is done, then our role pretty much is over. We simply turn the information over to Bruce's shop, which then, I think, in terms of the divisions of labor, makes sense, because his shop really is the shop that does kind of data analysis already on this kind of data and other kinds of health policy data, and that's really not our forte in the insurance division or within the Department of Consumer and Business Services. So we're the mechanism to collect the information in as practical a way and as cheap and easy a way as possible, and then it gets turned over to Bruce's shop. And so I'll turn it back to Bruce now to say what he's going to do with the data once he gets it.
What we would then do would be to take this information. HIRAC would have designated, I think, in consultation with our office and stakeholders and others involved, we will at that point have a set of diagnoses and procedures, heart bypass surgery, hip replacement, having a delivery by vaginal delivery or by cesarean section. We at this point don't know what the specific diagnoses and procedures would be, but there would be a list. We would have this data. We would put it together, be able to aggregate, put together the data from the insurers, by facility and put together the charges for from professional services, that from the doctor's fees as well as from the hospital fees, and be able to come up with what it would cost to have a bypass surgery or to have a baby at facilities across the state. The data would be aggregated so that we would not be able to, or no one else would identify particular insurers. There wouldn't be any contractual information that would be divulged, nor would there be any individual patient information that would be divulged. This would be done in a way that assured the confidentiality of both the individual patients as well as of the insurers. And in the end, we would have a product that we, as Joel said, would be very complementary to much of the other quality and charge information that is coming forward, and that we would put on a website and in publications and display for use by policymakers, consumers, and others in the state.
Madam Chair, if I can add one final word, and it relates to a comment, Senator George, that you made at the last hearing. We had language in the original bill that provided immunity for everybody who might possibly disclose confidential information. You'll see that's not in this draft, because the intent is not to disclose any of that information. And instead, what you have in this draft in subsection 2, D is a specific prohibition on that kind of disclosure, that it shall not disclose any information that identifies individually negotiated contract rates or fees between hospitals or other healthcare providers and insurers. The intent here is not to disrupt competitive negotiations in the marketplace. The intent is to get broad aggregate information out there, and so we've made those changes. So it was very much appreciate those comments from the last hearing.
I have a question regarding will the information be relevant? I mean, I'm hearing that maybe some hospitals, just because of the way they are, can provide real low rates, and other hospitals, real high rates. I mean, I guess we don't know until we get the data.
Madam Chair, I think that, like any information, it's relevant to some and not to others. And I think that the issue around cost and quality information in healthcare is that we have historically, not just as a state but nationally, had very little. And that our knowledge of what is the best information, in what form, what information is needed, is in its infancy. And what this bill does, along with a lot of the other efforts that are going on in the state, is allow us to put forth information, look and see what's relevant, what's helpful, and begin to refine this as we go along. I really view this as the start, not as we have here the end-all and be-all of the type of information that's needed. We've never had any information like this. This is the start of that, and I think it moves the state forward in a very important direction.
Madam Chair, I would just add, if the question is this the end-all and be-all, and is this going to give the perfect data set to the consumer and the policy analyst and anyone else who wants information, I think the answer is clearly no. But from my experience with other kinds of data that we've ended up making public over the years, you don't get very far into refining and sharpening data until you start making some things public. That's the point at which it catches people's attention more, and a lot more questions and comments come through that kind of public scrutiny. And I think there's no question but that taking first steps here of making some additional data public will create the kind of context in which the information will continue to improve. If we wait for the perfect data, I mean, then the perfect's the enemy of the good in this case, I think, very much.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Senator Morissette.
Thank you. I want to acknowledge the Hospital Association for putting a lot of this information on their website, and my concern was that we didn't talk about other costs, and I think this will certainly mesh with what they've already done, and I'm hoping that they will then include links on their website to this additional information. So I think we're making some real headway. I think it's great.
Okay. Any other questions for these two gentlemen? All right. There's a letter from AFL-CIO and Tim Nesbitt and colleagues, can we just go over that real quickly? It basically says that they represent thousands of Oregon workers and families as they bargain for health care benefits from their employers. Many workers are paying a larger share of the cost of their health insurance and are getting a less generous benefit package and still struggle for wage increases that match inflation. And for those reasons, AFL-CIO supports legislative efforts to control health care costs. It goes on to say this bill by itself will not reduce the cost of health care. It will, however, provide important information that will allow employers, union health care trusts, and other purchasers to compare what hospitals charge for the same service. And goes on to say, we know that the list price of hospital care varies hugely from hospital to hospital in Oregon. A lot of work has been done by Oregonians for health security. And they, a couple of months ago, for example, they showed that systems hospitals in Oregon charge an average of 24% more than unaffiliated hospitals for the five most common inpatient procedures. But we really need to know how much the real price varies from hospital to hospital. They also did some comparison for procedures in California hospitals, and they found that one hospital system collected an average of 80% more than the statewide average for the same services. And obviously they asked why. So Oregon, and I agree with AFL-CIO when they say Oregonians should have similar information, and the only way we can begin to require hospitals to compete for our business is on the basis of price, and passage of this bill would be an important first step in the effort to control the rapid increase in spending for hospital services. And they are asking, urging us to take that step. And then there's a letter from the Oregon Coalition of Healthcare Purchasers, which is in front of you. Basically, they support the amendments to Senate Bill 1040. They go on to say it's our belief that legislation covering the deleted sections should be addressed, but that action can be in the future. We haven't really, let's see. As amended, they believe that the dissemination of this information will lead to higher quality medical care for Oregon citizens, the development of competition between hospitals based on cost and quality of care, and provide beginning tools for consumers. The data that will be collected and the method of having the insurance companies complete the report are in line with what the coalition initially proposed. Again, this is the Oregon Coalition of Healthcare Purchasers. As they have stated previously, greater transparency is needed to promote competition in the healthcare arena as well as provide tools for consumers to make better decisions. As a coalition of employers who advocate for a more level playing field between medical providers and consumers, they support and encourage the use of consumer healthcare education tools. So, with that information, I think it's important for us to consider that. And is that it? In that. So, is there any more discussion on Senate Bill 1040? Senator Morissette.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 10. I'm sorry, I move the dash.
Wait,
line.
Hold it, just a minute.
Yes. Are we in work session?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, we are not.
Yeah. No, we
open. Am I in public session?
No.
Public works?
Work.
Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing of Senate Bill 1040, and I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 1040.
Okay. Madam Chair, as I remember, you did open the work session to start with, but that's beside the point now.
I thought I did, too.
I did.
That's
yes.
All right.
Okay. That was invited testimony. Madam Chair, I move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 1040 to the floor of the Senate with, well, I move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 1040.
Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition to the dash one amendments of Senate Bill 1040?
Yes.
Senator Cruz is so noted.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1040 as amended to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 1040.
Senator Morsetto.
I mean, Senate. I wanted your support.
It's crazy.
Just don't ask him to get his bill.
Senator Morsette moves Senate Bill 1040 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Yes, Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, to represent that the insurance industry is on board with this, I think would be misstating it, seeing how nobody got the amendment till today, so I'm not sure how anybody could have had a chance to get back and get input on it. But I think, Madam Chair, it, more than that, we talked all session about controlling health care costs. This doesn't do this, and it seems in government our solutions to a lot of things are more studies and more reports, and that's what this does. And, I mean, you know, if this is a move to help us control health care costs, that must mean that in the future we're planning on having the government be in control of all aspects of health care, because I don't see any other way that ultimately this controls health care costs. I think this is, we're asking folks that make a huge amount of reports and provide a huge amount of data now to create more reports and create more data. And ultimately, I'm not sure it gets us to the objective we want. I don't see, and I'm not necessarily sure at this point in time how this coalesces with 501, which is another reporting bill. So, you know, I personally think we're trying to go in a direction, and I applaud the direction we're trying to go, but I don't think what we're doing is going to get us there.
Yes, Senator Morsette.
Thank you. In relation to the comment of government control is the ultimate result, I think the opposite is true. I think that the more information we provide consumers about costs, the better it will be ultimately for the insurance companies and the hospitals. I think this is a positive thing. Government's role is to make sure that the consumer is protected, not to squelch the private sector from doing their job. So I think this is just a continuation of what the very, very good bill or steps that the hospitals have already taken. This adds to the information that consumers can use to make some decisions, and I think it's a great step forward.
Also, I think it's important that when we received information from the Oregon Health Policy and Research Commission, who is charged to look at the various complexities of our healthcare system, one of the things that they did tell us is that there really isn't enough information. And in order to provide good policy and hopefully contain healthcare costs, we need to have good data. And that's what now that the hospitals have done with their website, too. This is something that they've come forward to provide that, because that's what at least OOPRS, Oregon Health Policy and Research Commission, is stating. Okay. Yes, Senator George.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm appreciative of the attempt, you know, to moderate the bill. But in the middle of the night, I woke up last night thinking, you know what? We're doing here what we did to the schools. And in an attempt to get accountability, we burdened them down to the level the level that they couldn't deliver quality education anymore, because the bulk of their effort was directed not towards teaching children, but in fact, with filling out reports. I see us doing the same thing here, and I was reviewing the things that were in my file this morning. Again, excuse me. And I'm just curious, with the plethora of information that is currently available, that comment that came out of one of these things through Medicaid and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, all of those things, all of those sources of information, you know, I'm really to the point in which I'm thinking, all right, we are duplicating one more time, requirements for reporting. I'm very much concerned about this being used for the purpose of negotiations by unions to the detriment of the healthcare system. I believe in the long term, they're going to actually run costs up, not reduce them. And with that, I will be a no vote on this.
Thank you, Senator George. Any other comments? clerk will call the roll.
Senator Courtney?
Yes.
Senator George?
Nope.
Vice Chair Cruz?
No.
Senator Morissette?
Aye.
Chair Monson?
Aye. Motion carries, and...
Madam Chair?
Yes.
One thing I didn't point out, I don't know how this cannot have a fiscal on it, but it clearly doesn't at this point, but I also want to serve notice of a possible minority report.
So noted. And I will go ahead and carry this bill. I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 1040. And should we do a work session? I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 503, but first I want Holly to come up, and then I'm going to have Lynn Murray come up. Now, colleagues, this is a certificate of need bill, and we have already heard public testimony on it. And what we heard from in our last work session there was great concern that we had included oncology centers, and that. Was an issue that was very compelling to me, and after talking with various members, we removed that from the bill. And many people who testified were concerned about having their centers in progress and how this would infect them. And so we tried, at least this is what Holly will tell us, Robinson from Legislative Council, how that takes care of that concern for those centers that are already in process. Okay. Ms. Robinson.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Holly Robinson from Legislative Council. And there's just a couple of comments I want to make about the Dash 9 amendments. My first caveat being is that given the amount of time that we had to produce these, they can always probably be improved upon. There are a number of changes between the Dash 5s and the Dash 9s, which I will note briefly. The Dash 9s remove an oncology center from the definition of a health facility, which would be required to get a certificate of need. We also added a definition of freestanding diagnostic imaging center. I found a definition from the state of Ohio. This is their definition. It is intended to cover the same types of centers that this bill is intended to do. I understand that there's some questions about it, and those questions can either be resolved through amendments on the House side or through the rulemaking process, but I did want the record to reflect that in Ohio they do require certificate of needs for these types of facilities that the bill is intended to cover, and so I grabbed it off the internet and put it in here, and the record should reflect that. If it needs further definition through either rule or further tweaking, that can be done on a later date. Section 6 and 7 of the bill deal with what we call applicability provisions. It's very interesting. Every time I end up in front of this committee, I'm describing some of the more arcane aspects of legislative drafting. Section 6 and 7 attempt to deal with what our office affectionately calls birds in flight. What do you do with a situation when there are already things happening and a bill is going to somehow impact the things that are already happening? In maybe some wisdom or some foolishness, attempt to address this issue in two ways. Section 6 talks about certificates of need for hospitals and for freestanding diagnostic centers and makes the new rules apply to those hospitals or freestanding diagnostic centers that apply on or after the effective date of this act. The reason that I chose or approached it to approach it in that way was this. Hospitals are currently subject to certificate of need requirements. What this one does says is that if you're going to apply on and after the effective date of this act, it's clear to you as a hospital which rules are applying, which amendments or which statutes will apply. freestanding diagnostic imaging centers are not currently required to have certificates of need, nor are they licensed. And so it was really just a dart at saying, okay, if you are going to do, if you are a freestanding diagnostic imaging center, there really was no other point in time or point in process to say, okay, these apply to you, and so they apply to a freestanding diagnostic imaging center on or after the effective date of this act. Section 7 addresses ASCs or ambulatory surgical centers. One of the concerns that I understand was raised and that I was asked to address was what happens if you have facilities that are already in process. ASCs currently, unlike diagnostic imaging centers and like hospitals, but unlike new things that are now being covered by this bill, ASCs are in fact licensed annually by the Department of Human Services. And so there is a licensing process and there is an overlay of a certificate of need process for them. In my late night thinking, it seemed to me that if a facility was going to get a new license and they were going to need some time to be building their facility, that it takes some time to build these. And that if they were in the process, had started construction, or were about to start construction, it creates a window of time in which they can complete construction and get licensed. Then the new laws would not apply. On the other hand, if they are anticipating, and of course I have no idea how long it takes to build an ASC, probably longer than it takes to build a house, but in anticipation of this, they at least know there's a point in time where they either have to finish construction and get their new facility license, or in anticipation of being licensed on July 1st, 2006, they would not only get licensed, but the certificate of need stuff would also apply. It's probably not perfect, but in a world of moving targets, because ASCs know that they have to be licensed, a new facility has to be licensed, in anticipation of a new certificate of need process, it seemed like the best way under the circumstances to bring the two together. So if a ASC is in the process of being started or is in the works, arguably, and again, the timelines might be need to be tweaked a little bit, they know that they're going to be licensed shortly. And so they can try to bring those two processes together, and the bill basically gives them 15 months, 14 months to do that. As I said, it might not be perfect, but under the circumstances, it was it was one way that we could come up with to try to bring those two processes together. Madam Chair, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yes, and I think I addressed this with you earlier regarding dental offices. They have x-rays in their offices. How would it affect them, as well as I know of some mammogram centers that are located in a different building that certain systems refer to their patients to?
Madam Chair, I don't believe that this definition would cover dental offices. I think the key to this, to the success of the definition, is defining which diagnostic imaging services would be provided as outpatient services and which are not. Again, I mean, the Department of Human Services would have authority to adopt rules, or this bill in its House iteration could further define what those would be. I understand that there is some ambiguity, but in the Ohio definition, they actually also added a list of specific services that would be provided at the center, and that's probably the solution with a little bit more time.
Okay. Yes, Senator George.
During some of the period of time when I wasn't here and I was working on that bad ankle of mine, I spent some time in a diagnostic center that was actually embedded in a truck trailer. And the question I had was, obviously that was designed to be moved from one location to another. How would we deal with someone who wanted to provide, you know, this portable unit, a very sophisticated piece of machinery, obviously, and would be able to move it from one of the facilities to another? Would they be going through the process, or could we qualify them up front for assumption that it would be moved?
Madam Chair, Senator George, that's an excellent question. And the answer is, I don't know. I mean, it's a variation of this that's not been presented to me, and I would hate to have to think through it and come up with an answer at the moment, but I don't have an answer.
Okay. I need some input from the committee here. I mean, this is the definition. We can either work on the definition or we can move the bill. And we could actually, with more time, but this is, we are supposed to be closing at 5 o'clock today, so I need some input from the committee on how they would like to proceed. Senator Morissette?
Well, I think we ought to move the bill and fix some of the minor details as we can, perhaps on the House side, but
okay.
I just think, unless we can carry it over, I think we ought to move it.
Okay.
You know, we're not going to reach perfection necessarily at this point, and I applaud your efforts. And I was going to ask you, with the stressful job that you have, do you often wake up in the middle of the night with the solution?
Madam Chair, Senator Morissette, the answer, unfortunately, is yes.
Yeah, that's good. Because sometimes your mind needs to process the information. But, no, I think we ought to move the bill.
Okay, Senator Cruz?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, you're going to be a no anyway. I know that. And Senator George?
Well, I'm here again. I'm going through the file, and I keep coming up with things like this, that this will be a significant financial and competitive disadvantage, and that's coming out of Eugene. So.
Okay.
What? 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 What about Eugene?
Senator Courtney.
On some moving the bill, I also think I need to point out, I think Senator George's question is a fascinating one, because you could ask that on so many bills that we send out. If you're going to do something like this, it won't be perfect. It needs, it will always be, need work, and that's the magic of the legislative process and the kind of legislative process. It can be taken up in the House, in addition, in the next session as well. These definitions are complicated, and so I'm comfortable with the work that's been done. I think, however, what's happened here is you've heard a very frank confession by legislative counsel, which you don't always, let me strike that, which very frank about how you can't always come up with perfect language to cover all the situations you can think of. And you know, we're not used to those kinds of responses, to be very frank with you, and I think that's what is giving some of us pause, although maybe the ones that are pausing are going to just know because they feel this is not the way to go, and I understand that, and I think that's very upfront about it. I'm not sure at this stage of the game we can do more than what is before us, and I think, therefore, if one believes that we should move in this direction, we should go now. That's my opinion.
I do know that the people who drafted the original bill, Certificate of Need bill, it focused on hospitals, and now this includes hospitals in a sense, but brings in ambulatory surgical centers and diagnostic imaging centers. So I do feel that I want to call Lynn Marie Kreider up from the Public Employees Union, who has really spent hours on this, and give your input.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I appreciate your kind words of this morning, and I don't want to make Senator Cruz feel uncomfortable by taking the same position on this bill as he does. However, I'm constrained to do that. SEIU opposes the Dash 9 amendments, and we will oppose the bill if it's amended in the manner that is before you today. This is not a problem of us being greedy and saying that you don't go far enough. The problem is that this bill does a very different thing than what the original bill proposed to do. The original bill proposed to address the orgy, in my view, of capital spending by hospitals. And this bill does nothing to address that problem. Rather, it takes on ambulatory surgical centers. As I told the committee the other day, we're not opposed to taking a broader view, that is, at looking at various kinds of facilities and bringing them under the same tent. We don't think that the Dash 9s do that, because what you have is, right now we have a situation where new hospitals come under a certificate of need program. But the definition of new hospital is such that it's possible to build an entirely new facility some miles down the road and close your old one, and there's no certificate of need process required for that. And that, similarly, a lot of expansion of hospital facilities can go on without a certificate of need. This bill, as amended with the Dash 9s, will make no change whatever in those problems. Rather, it simply brings in another set of people and says, if you're going to build an ambulatory surgery center, you have to get a certificate of need. But if you're going to expand your hospital to do a kind of stuff that you didn't do before, no problem. Go ahead. No review. We would support a level playing field. We don't believe that the Dash 9s get you there. And they don't deal with the bigger financial problem. And that's why we would be constrained to oppose the bill as amended with the Dash 9s.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Morissette.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, first of all, I think that, to quote our Ways and Means Chair, you don't let the good get in the perfect get in the way of the good. I think this is a good bill. However, I do want to mention the situation in Eugene, because Eugene was mentioned, and the certificate of need is actually working against the victim hospital, which is McKinsey Willamette, which is forced to move because the predator hospital, which is Peace Health, moved into their territory because they don't need a certificate of need, forcing the victim to move into Eugene where they do not have the patient base and therefore cannot provide the essential services that the people of West Eugene have received from Peace Health. The certificate of need is not a perfect instrument, although I will support this bill. It is frustrating, and okay, I'll let it go at that. But okay, I do support the bill as written.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
As you know, the public employees union did want to have as part of the bill certificate of need. Be for those hospitals that are relocating and expanding, and I understand that issue, and I agree with them that I do wish that we could have that, but again, we are looking for a bill that is going to get out of the Senate, and that is why I feel very strongly that we should go forward and move this bill. I think it is a start. We take a look at long-term care facilities, and we've had to put a moratorium on them because there were just too many cropping up. And I can foresee this happening with our ambulatory surgical centers and our diagnostic centers. But when you look at the certificate of need, they are going to be addressing, if you look on at some of the criteria, is this going to be in the best interest of patients? Is it going to cost less? Is it going to be provide proper access, better access for patients? And if these ambulatory surgical centers really are as efficient and as and provide better service than the other competition in their community, I don't see this certificate of need being a detriment to the expansion of these diagnostic centers. Instead, it will actually offer, be able to monitor it, but then also put a little bit of competition with the hospital. So that's why I feel very comfortable with this. And yes, I think further, hopefully in the interim and down the line, we'll be working with the hospitals and working for ways for cost containment. And it could be that hopefully next session we'll be able to add the relocation and the expansion of this to the certificate of need. But I know that we don't have the votes in this body at this point in time.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Before I move this bill, I just want to complete my statement that I made previously, because it is a cost containment issue in Lane County, and again, what we have is a large hospital, which is part of a larger chain, moving into an area of Springfield, which is really probably not the right place in terms of traffic, but also leaving sufficient rooms in their old site. So they have two sites now, two sites that can deal with the needs of the community at both sites, leaving McKinsey Willamette to choose a site that might be between the two Peace Health sites, and that would be a restraint of trade. I think it would be a monopoly, and I don't know if the McKinsey Willamette could survive. If they do, they're going to spend multi-millions of dollars building a facility to compete with the multi-million dollars that Peace Health is spending to build a new facility. So you're going to have in Lane County two extremely expensive hospitals, and that cost will be passed on to the consumer. I think there is a problem in the certificate of need. This bill is not addressing that, but it is a restraint of trade issue. As far as I'm concerned, that's my opinion. Thank you very much.
Okay. Further comments?
Are we on a work session?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 9 amendments to Senate Bill 503.
Senator Morissette moves the Dash 9s to Senate Bill 503. Is there discussion? Opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 503 as amended to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morissette moves Senate Bill 503 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Yes, Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've had a lot of discussion on this issue, and I appreciate the work everybody has done, but if you look at the history of certificate of need across this nation, what you will find is basically all it has done is add to the cost. And that's all it's doing. And so I guess I fail to see, Madam Chair, how in an effort to control health care costs, we're going to expand government oversight and add to the cost of construction of health care facilities. And I think, for me, it's counterintuitive, and I will be not supporting the bill.
Thank you. One of the cost drivers in health care is utilization. And there's many segments of our health care system that overutilize the system, and that obviously is driving up especially our health insurance costs. And that's why I feel that this bill is necessary in order to contain costs. Any other comments? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Frank?
Yes.
Senator George?
No.
Vice Chair
Cruz? No.
Senator Morissette?
Aye.
Chair Montanerson?
Aye. Motion carries. I will carry the bill.
Madam Chair, serve notice of a possible minority report.
And Senator Cruz serves notice of a minority report.
We're only doing two bills today, right?
That's right.
I'm going to go for a record. Well, there was.
I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 503, and I adjourn.